Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a real story. I can't possibly make this up. That was a real thing where some dude was under the influence of alcohol and drugs, theoretically, and tried to get home on his own, thought he made it, crawled through a doggy door. Well, he got stuck in the doggy door, even though his actual house doesn't have a doggy door. So I guess he thought someone put one in for him when he was gone. Crazy, crazy stuff. People, right, do a lot of insane and dangerous things when they are under the influence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It is Labor Day. We are laboring on Labor Day. Isn't that the point? If you too are laboring on Labor Day, well, we're happy to keep you company for another hour. I was saying this earlier because I'm working overnight tonight, obviously, into this Monday morning. And then also coming out of the holiday weekend, hosting the show Monday night into Tuesday morning. My husband is working on Monday. Might as well take the comp day. We did our big cookout on Sunday. There were only three of us. We invited a neighbor whose wife is away on a trip, and so he was able to hang out with us. It's actually neighbors that made the trip to Texas for our wedding, so a lot of fun to have him over. And other than the fact that Daisy, our mini Aussie, growled at him most of the time that he was in the house, Daisy weighs all of, say, 25 pounds, and she is scared of her own shadow, and yet somehow she will safely hide behind me and growl at the intruder. Intruder, intruder. Yeah, I stopped growling. So she was hiding behind me. I'm shucking corn in the kitchen. She's hiding between me and the cupboard, the counter, and she's growling at him from behind my legs. Oh, yeah, you're a big bad. Anyway, so poor guy. Good thing he wasn't flummoxed by that. So we had a growling dog. We had a neighbor visiting who brought cannolis, amazing. And we also had so much food that we have almost as much as we ate still left over, but it was amazing. If I only married my husband for his full-size washer and dryer, the fact that he will kill the spiders and his grill skills, I would be all set because he is terrific on his pellet grill. I prefer charcoal, but he loves to do the pellet grill, and he had it cranked up. He made jalapeno poppers, so stuffed jalapenos. This is coming from a girl who the most I can manage is medium salsa, and I start to get all of, like, my nose runs, my eyes water, I start to get all hot, the top of my head burns if I accidentally eat a jalapeno in nachos or something. I ate three of them because he cleaned them out for me and made sure they weren't too spicy, but he put in Colby and Monterey Jack cheese and cream cheese and mixed that all up and then wrapped the jalapeno. Well, he stuffed the cheese into the jalapeno, wrapped the jalapeno in bacon, and grilled it. That was our appetizer. And then he made corn ribs, which I explained earlier on the show. You'll have to get the podcast if you don't know what those are. And also burgers, beef kielbasa, and hot sausage. Plus, I made a Mexican corn salad. And our neighbor brought the cannolis. So it was delicious. It was a meal that was perfect for a weekend in which we're supposed to take a break from laboring. And yet he labored over the counter and over the grill. But I thanked him profusely and told him that there is no restaurant that I would rather eat at. My brother thinks that he should open a food truck, or we should open a food truck. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. We could sell his food off the grill and I could bake and have the goodies. Ryan's nodding. Are you going to get any type of a fun meal or a dessert or anything? You're going to be here the entire weekend.
I will not be getting anything cool. No. I think the best thing I can get is sleep.
Yes. Well, that I didn't get. So if it makes you feel any better, I didn't get a nap on Sunday afternoon. Last Sunday without the NFL, and I did not take advantage of it. Yeah, there was too much food. There was too much going on. And we enjoyed having our neighbor over. So good morning to you if you are driving, if you are headed to the beach, or you're headed to some other activity. Maybe you're navigating the roadways early because you want to get where you're going before the masses of traffic. Well, that makes sense too. I know a lot of people out of their typical routines on a holiday weekend. So if you've never heard the show before, or you're hearing it for the first time in a long time, glad to connect with you online at A-Law Radio and also on our Facebook page. Not only are we now 2 weekends into the college football season, but we are standing on the precipice of the NFL season that kicks off Thursday, Friday. I know it's weird. At least we're sending the Friday game to Brazil. And then Sunday with the full slate. And I was just telling Ryan, this is Ryan's last show with us for a while. Not because he doesn't do a good job, because producer Pete will start tonight, actually. Pretty excited about that. It's going to be just all gas, no brakes until Pete and I can figure it out with football starting. Anyway, so I was just telling Ryan that I have to travel for a wedding this coming weekend. Oh, man. Having to plan. I'm not complaining. I swear I'm not complaining. I'm going to be cranky as heck, though, because I'm going to be up 24 hours Thursday into Friday. That is the minimum. I might be up 30 hours sometimes when I travel, but I'm going straight to the airport on Friday morning after we have our Thursday football show, in which we talk Ravens and Chiefs, and then the full slate for week one. We'll be doing a bunch of previews, so you don't want to miss it. So after that, going straight to the airport, flying to Dallas, and then on Sunday after the late night reception, getting to the airport uber early, flying home, going right to work. So I'm hoping to get some of my notes kind of pre-written, meaning headlines and that kind of stuff, because you know I'm all out with the notes on NFL Sundays. So it's going to be a really long haul. If I make up words on Sunday night into Monday, well, just know that's me. And it's also because I was busy traveling all weekend. Also, as I shared with our friend Josh Pate last weekend, it's only the biggest game of the year for the Texas Longhorns already, week two, and it's Texas, barring the college football playoff, it's Texas against Michigan. Texas at the Big House. That, I mean, wow. And so this is the weekend that two Texas grads chose to use for their wedding. I hope everyone's not in a bad mood. I mean, the game is at 11 o'clock Central Time. The wedding's not until 5. Now, the bride and the bridal party, they're going to be busy getting ready. And what she has said to me is, if it starts to go horribly wrong, we're turning it off. So they are going to watch. Now, she doesn't care as much. The guys in their suite will be watching. And I have no doubt that there will be some really bad tempers if the game goes horribly wrong. Or maybe not. Maybe the wedding will make people happy. But the wedding should be should be after the game is already done, but it's a full day. It's family dinner Friday, breakfast Saturday morning, game, and then boom, right to the wedding. It's going to be a lot. I'm just hoping that people aren't in a bad mood. Like I said, I mean, I'm married into the Longhorn family, but to be honest, don't tell them. I couldn't care less if they win or lose. I want them to win so the family's happy, but otherwise, I'm not yet emotionally attached. Maybe when Arch Manning takes over as the starting quarterback, I'll be more emotionally attached. By the way, he did throw his first touchdown and run for a touchdown as well against Colorado State. Steve Sarkisian, of course, being asked about Arch after the game and the fact that he was able to play significant minutes in the second half.
What Arch did, literally until the one last pass there at the end, he just ran the offense. You know, I fight with Arch a lot about him being a little too robotic at times because he wants to be right. He's a guy that wants to do it the right way. And I want him to play the game because he has so many cool instincts about his ability to play the game. And so I think I did, you know, we saw that on display today.
It's interesting. I said earlier to Ryan, do you think that is more like Peyton or more like Eli? And he said neither. I would say the desire to be right, I feel like Eli was a rule follower. Peyton maybe less so, because he just wanted, he could do his own thing and he knew he could pull it off. But at the same time, we're not going to know those instincts with Arch until he gets PT, until he's out there and he has reps. And that's kind of the deal. He could very much turn out to be much more instinctual and more like his uncles and his grandfather have coached him, but he can't do it until he's actually on the field and playing in games that matter.
I really respect Arch Manning, just because to sit behind Quinn Ewers for 3 years.
Yes.
And not
leave.
Not complain or transfer.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of props. And even though he's not getting much playing time, I don't know, he's holding out. Maybe he gets some this year, but I respect that.
Yeah, I do too. The fact that he wants to play there, and I don't know how much input his family has, probably some. This is the nephew, of course, of Peyton and Eli. And I can imagine that there are people who are kind of pushing him. Go find some other place to play. But I think a lot of guys benefit from sitting behind someone in front of them. And Texas has national championship aspirations. This, by the way, is not that different than Jalen Hurts and Tua at Alabama. Remember, Jalen was the starting quarterback that had great success with him, but Tua eventually overtook him and was the starter himself. Now, I know there was an injury late. Jalen came back. It was all very movie script-like. But they had a competition, too. And it was tough. It was tough for Jalen. It was tough for Tua. And they handled it very gracefully, or graciously, I should say. And they were supporters of one another. And each of them was more about team than he was about the starting job. I mean, that was kind of how they had to handle it for Nick Saban.
We were just really spoiled with Trevor Lawrence, how he came in as a true freshman, started, and then you see guys who come in, like Arch Manning, who are projected to be one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen in forever, and they don't start. It's kind of disappointing, but he's handled it perfectly.
Remember Tom Brady? He had to work his way up to starter at Michigan, and obviously the same when he got to the New England Patriots. Oh. Talking about football is terrific. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you missed it, we did talk about the Georgia victory over Clemson, and that game was 6-0 at halftime. Like Texas A&M Notre Dame, 6-6 at the break in College Station. So we have already talked about those two games. If you missed it, you can go back and check out the podcast. We will share the link on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. And if you're just missing the link, that really that's all you need. You don't need me to share you a new one with you every weekday morning. It's the eternal link. We've migrated with our podcast, kind of like sports are migrating to streaming services. And I have shared the new link. I'll make sure I do it again on both of our social media sites. So you may want to bookmark it or save it or subscribe, or really you can get the podcast wherever your favorite podcasts are available. I generally tend to use Spotify. That's what I use. I love it. Oh, I broke down and paid for Spotify without the commercials. And you know, they give you one of those deals where you get it 3 months free, and then you forget, right, to go back and get rid of it. I thought this was going back to last, I guess it was in the springtime. I had a half marathon. I was training for a half marathon. I wanted to be able to run it without listening to commercials on my Spotify. And I thought, okay, I'll take the 3 months free and then I'll cancel it. But I like it so much that now I'm paying for it. I don't care. I really do enjoy being able to run or bike or whatever and listen to Spotify without the ads.
My issue with Spotify is the same three ads
over and over. Yes, over and over and over again. They do get you. It's not like it's different ads. Agreed. I still pay for, well, I still get Amazon Prime with ads. So Bob and I were watching a couple of shows this weekend and we watched ads. It's annoying, but whatever. It's 90 seconds and then you're done. But that's the difference between streaming and, say, a DVR or a show on cable where you can change channels. I very rarely watch commercials, but on streaming, I don't want to pay the extra. So Spotify is the only place I've caved.
Yeah. I'm Apple Music, but I have a student discount still, even though I graduated.
And they don't know that you are no longer a student. They did.
So I'm going to back to normal prices soon. So that hurt a little bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other streaming services I have. Amazon Prime, Paramount Plus, I get commercials there too. Now, not every show has them, but when they do, same thing. I'll get up, get some water, go to the bathroom, go take my laundry upstairs, whatever. And then What else do I have? Disney Plus I use. No commercials in the shows that I watch there. I don't have Netflix. Oh, someone shared a Peacock subscription with me recently. I guess they had an extra for their company, so gave me one. I don't know if that has ads, but I'll be using that for football. Goodness, can't even keep up with all these streaming services. Speaking of that, not that DirecTV is streaming, but if you do have DirecTV, and we know that DirecTV, like cable, hemorrhaging subscribers these days because of the cost, and I would say the impracticality of DirecTV as well now, plus it lost NFL Sunday Ticket, which was a big deal. But what did you tell me in the last 10 years? How many subscribers down?
About 50%. They went from 20 million to about 11.3.
Wow. And that is the case for a lot of cable networks, a lot of cable services. They're losing subscribers. So we know that's the changing landscape of how people consume their entertainment, from sports to drama to podcasts to whatever. We're more and more on a digital marketplace as opposed to that cable. Now, I still have cable. I love it. I can't live without a DVR because there's too many games going on at once. I wouldn't be able to follow them all. So I do appreciate cable and the DVR. And to have to watch all the sports that I do, it still is a better value. But we know that more and more people are moving to these apps. Now, Venue Sports, which is supposed to be this partnership, including ESPN, was recently blocked from launching, so they haven't launched yet. And now there's a battle with DirecTV. So Disney owns ABC and ESPN, as well as a variety of other networks, but those are the big ones for sports fans. And just last night, before the LSU-USC game kicked off, just then, DirecTV went black on ABC and ESPN. And Ryan, if you would like to read the message that's on the screen, we've got it here. We've got DirecTV that we use in our studios. And yeah, no ESPN, no ABC.
Our contract with Disney, the owner of this channel, has expired. We appreciate your patience while we negotiate to offer you greater flexibility, choice, and value. Visit tvpromise.com for more info.
So we could not watch the end of the U.S. Open. It actually didn't end until 15 minutes after our show began. It was, I think, the latest women's match at U.S. Open in U.S. Open history. Didn't end until 2:15 New York time. We couldn't watch whatever else was out there on programming. A lot of college football, sports center, that kind of stuff. So yeah, DirecTV is now engaged in not just a war of words, but a contract dispute, feeling like Disney charges too much money to carry ESPN and ABC and some of the other sports channels, and feeling like they're being forced. And you know, maybe ESPN has their, Disney has them over a barrel because consumers want these channels, but they're charging too much to carry them. So DirecTV feels like it's paying way too much for these particular channels to carry them to their consumers and are not making enough money in return, so to speak. So this happened with Spectrum going back a year ago, and now it's happening with DirecTV. I would think that they would have the motivation to fix it by the time they get to their actual NFL season, which kicks off. And of course, Monday Night Football is carried on ABC and ESPN. And what would you do without Monday Night Mannings? It's almost back with Bill Belichick.
I'm not even worried about that. As a Jets fan, if I had DirecTV, I would be freaking out just because you've waited so long to see Aaron Rodgers play.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't see it because of Disney.
On Monday night, you mean?
On Monday night.
Yeah.
Because of DirecTV and Disney having a contract dispute.
Let's hope it's fixed by then.
Hopefully.
Or radio it is. Or a sports bar, right? You could go to a sports bar. That's what a lot of people do when they don't have the streaming service or the app. They'll go to a sports bar to watch.
I feel like a lot of sports bars have DirecTV, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point. If they don't have regular cable, they have DirecTV. Oops, then you might be SOL. Radio it is. Let's go. Jets Radio, Bob Wischusen does an awesome job. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation. But this actually could add to more people dropping DirecTV and going a different route, which is maybe what ESPN and Disney want. at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you are looking to join us on Survivor Island, I'm going to retweet. We filled up another island, which means that we had to start a fresh one for you. My husband couldn't get in, and that's how I knew that the island we shared with you last week, it was already full. You all are... You're busy joining us, which is terrific. I'm pretty excited. So what we need from you is to find me online, either of our social media sites, and check out the new link that's there. You only have days before the NFL season kicks off, so it's time to join us. You better not wait much longer. All right, still to come this hour, a little bit on that USC-LSU game because Brian Kelly was ticked, maybe a bit of a meltdown postgame. The Indiana Fever. Above 500 for the first time in 5 years. They have the best record in the WNBA since the Olympic break. And stop me if you've heard this before. Caitlin Clark is setting new records. Also, they're about to clinch a playoff spot, so it's a really big deal. Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about the Fever, give you the latest on San Francisco rookie wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. Also, Scottie Scheffler just made $25 million this weekend by winning the Tour Championship. What a year he's had. So we will launch you forward into Labor Day Monday with as much as we can cram into your brain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You know, a 7-shot lead after the first round is something that I will probably never have at any other tournament besides this one. So it's definitely, it's a bit of a different feeling. I feel like sometimes this tournament lasts longer than other tournaments. I don't know why, but it just... Like, I'm exhausted right now. There's really no other way around it. I'm just really, really tired. So if my answers are not very good, I'm blaming it on the exhaustion.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Exhausted and yet $25 million richer after he wins the Tour Championship. That's Scottie Scheffler, who has had one hell of a year. I'm not sure there are other ways to describe it more appropriately. He won the FedEx Cup title on Sunday, had a huge lead most of the tournament, so maybe not quite as stressful as some of his other events this year. Remember, he also claimed a Masters green jacket. He won the Olympic gold. He's a daddy for the first time. And, of course, he got arrested in Louisville with that... Gosh, that mess with the police before his second round at Valhalla. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He is continually asked to describe what this year has been like for him.
I really don't know how to put it into words. It's been a very eventful year, but it's been a lot of fun. You have the really just the one weird spot there at Valhalla, which I just don't really know what to say about it. But yeah, everything else has been pretty special.
Yeah, the photos are priceless with his wife and his baby. And yeah, he looks tired, but he also looks real happy. Eighth win of the year for Scottie Scheffler. His eighth win of the year. And that doesn't even include the gold medal. He's clearly the most dominant force on the PGA Tour. And while that doesn't carry over, a lot of people are looking back to what Tiger Woods did in 2006 when he also had 8 tournament wins, though his were 6 in a row plus 2 majors. Goodness. That was around the time that his father died, so people point to that and the fact that Tiger excelled despite what he was going through in his personal life. Scottie's 8 wins, the Masters, the Players' Championship, the gold medal, the Tour Championship. Oh, so I take it back. They include the gold medal. So it's 7 PGA Tour wins and the gold medal. But those are the most since Tiger in 2007. Yeah, pretty incredible. And for winning the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, $25 million. Wowzers for the one tournament. Though it is a culmination because you have to survive the various rounds of the championship. His peers, yeah, they're in awe as well. No doubt that he's about to win the PGA Tour Player of the Year award for the 3rd consecutive season. Why not? Again, Tiger Woods territory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Good morning to you if it's your Labor Day. We are glad to keep you company if you're en route, if you're already up. Maybe you're getting the smoker ready. You're already up working on the feast that you will be providing, or maybe you're sharing a particular dish with some other peeps. While we're talking about the majors, and in this case, Scotty winning one this year, the U.S. Open, told you it didn't finish until 2:15 New York time with the last women's match, but that was not a match that I would say was high profile. The match that really stopped people in their tracks was earlier on Sunday evening, and that was Emma Navarro, the American, taking out the defending champion, Coco Gauff. And she was frustrated, no doubt. She clearly had played some shaky tennis at times, and Navarro just had a better performance.
I mean, mentally, I gave it, and emotionally, I gave it my all. Obviously, there's things execution-wise where I'm like, okay, I wish I could serve better. I think if I would have did that, it would have been a different story for me in the match. But Emma played really well.
You know, there's a different energy playing on Ash, playing someone like Coco. So, you know, there's a ton of energy and passion and emotion out there, which, you know, I don't show, but I definitely feel it. And yeah, it wasn't easy today.
It was a three-setter, but this is the stat that people keep pointing to. And if you watch the match, it certainly stood out to you. Coco really struggled serving. She had more double faults than she had winners. And so it was cringeworthy to watch her serve. And I can imagine she was feeling that as well. Now, she is 20 years old. She's got a long career ahead of her, barring injuries or maybe her choice to walk away. She forced the third set, so that was a big deal. Played better in the second set. But yeah, this one belongs to Emma, who's had success against Coco Gauff in the past.
Played good tennis. I played really tough tennis. It wasn't easy. I think, you know, both of us faced our own struggles at times. And I think it was a little bit of a battle of will there for a bit. But yeah, proud of just my effort today, how I was able to stick in there through some tough moments.
Yeah, she had a lot of unforced errors. So this was one of those matches where I wouldn't say it was aesthetically pleasing. How about a football game that is kind of ugly, actually, but you still get the win, and that's what matters. And so Navarro is into the quarterfinals. She also beat Coco in the fourth round at Wimbledon going back this summer. And so they do have a bit of history. But yeah, one of the up-and-coming Americans that people are paying more attention to. You may have heard over the weekend, Novak Djokovic. He lost on Friday, and Carlos Alcaraz lost on Thursday, right? So the top two draws on the men's side were out. Serena Williams was in attendance, so it's kind of neat. She was getting a lot of attention as well. Wide open here. Jannik Sinner, he's the one that tested positive for a couple of different tests for banned substances, but was given the ability to compete as the appeal goes on. So, yeah, there's a lot of drama around the U.S. Open, but the tournament now wide open on both sides because you've had some of the favorites as well as the defending champion on the women's side. Well, and the men's too, right? Get eliminated. Glad to have you with us. I dare say that we'll be getting into our leftovers on Monday at my house. We did the big cookout on Sunday. Hope that you have big cookout plans. I know a bunch of you, and it continued all the way through the weekend, were sharing your must-haves at your Labor Day cookout. So I hope that wasn't just wishful thinking and you're really looking forward to a day off. Although it does signal the end of summer. In many ways, the end of our summer routines, the end of vacations. My kiddos on Sunday morning at church, they were giving me foul looks and evil eyes as I was mentioning school and asking them how many of them start school this week. Oh, yeah. I think from that point on, I may have lost them. For a lot of kiddos in the Northeast, school starts in a couple of days. And I know that's the case for many school districts around the country, though in the South and the Southwest, a lot of kids have already been in school for a couple of weeks, so you don't get any sympathy there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Moss with the snap. Hands runs off the marks, up the middle, into the end zone! Touchdown! They're going wild in half of this stadium as the Trojans are going to pull off the upset. How do you do?
We're just not into it for messages, man. My message is I like my team. I like our team. I like our defense. I like our coaches. I like our offense. I like our special teams. I like the vibe of this team. It's a long, long, long ways to go, but I'm sure glad I'm coaching these guys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's still so weird to think about Lincoln Riley and USC in the Big Ten. It's just odd, but that's how it goes. And playing against LSU on Sunday night, my husband said to me, wait a minute, why is there a big college football game on Sunday? And I said, because the NFL doesn't start till next week. That's why. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Pete Arbogast on USC Radio. Touchdown run by Woody Marks with 8 seconds left. And Lincoln Riley's Trojans get the victory over LSU. We did not leave Brian Kelly in a very good mood.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach him better because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
That, to me, sounds like Hall of Flame material. I know we haven't done one in a while, but the After Hours Hall of Flame is four rants just like that, including the, Ryan, would you fire it up again, the bang on the table right in front of Brian Kelly for emphasis.
Talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent again. We're sitting here again.
Oh, poor table. Take it out on the table. Table can handle it. Yeah, it was a frustrating moment for him because they were within seconds of having that game as a victory for them. And instead, Kelly's talking about how we did not play complimentary football. He's talking about selfish penalties and personal fouls, undisciplined, and that falls back on him for sure. But certainly this is something you can't get back. Interesting, too, if you're watching the game, the Tigers had the majority of the fans there. And this was an Allegiant Stadium. And it was loud. It felt like at times that it could have been in Baton Rouge. Not quite the same, of course, because the crowd was a little more split. But there are a lot of star power and celebrities on hand, like Shaquille O'Neal. He was one. Marcus Allen, Matt Leinart. Those are Heisman Trophy winners. So there were lots of big time names there because of where it was played and the fact that it was in Las Vegas, and that's generally a place where a lot of fans want to go. They want to flock to. They'll buy tickets, make a trip out of it if they've never been there before. So, yeah, this is a different flavor, not exactly what you'd get in Death Valley, but still loud fans and a lot of colors represented in Allegiant Stadium other than black and silver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, if you haven't yet joined us on Survivor Island, we've opened up a whole new island just for you because we ran out of space. If I'm not mistaken, we now are up to our fifth island in the archipelago. I wish I knew what the cap number is because I don't. I only know it when you tell me that you can't get on the island anymore. And so I know my husband tried on Sunday and was told the link was invalid, so we got a brand new link. Ryan is telling me that the one island he's on, and I know you're on the one we just opened because you'd never played before, right?
No, I have not.
Right. So you were first timer. You jumped on almost as soon as the link was posted last week when we were working together, and it's over 500 people. Okay. So every island I thought it was between 400 and 500 people, but I guess there's a few more crammed onto the island. Now we've opened up a new Survivor Island, but so you don't have to pick either Thursday, Friday. If you don't pick either of those games, you're okay. But you do have to pick by I think it's Sunday at noon Eastern time. So an hour before those first round of games tip off on Sunday, which means 9 o'clock on the West Coast. So make sure that you don't procrastinate like me. I finally signed up over the weekend myself, and I finally made my pick. And then I had to listen to my husband try to work it out because he doesn't know a lot about the NFL. And I don't want him to get eliminated on the first week. No, I want to beat him, of course, but I don't want him to get eliminated in week number one because then it won't be any fun. And so I did try to coach him a little bit, but he made his pick all by himself.
The Carolina Panthers.
He picked the Panthers? You picked the Panthers?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Okay, he picked the Saints over the Panthers, actually, which makes me a little nervous.
That is very...
Yeah, it's bold. And also maybe... Yeah, I don't know. I told him not to get cute. Pick teams that you think will win, period. Don't worry about who wins next week or who's playing who. Just survive, because chances are you won't last past week six anyway. Most people don't. What about you? Are you willing to share your pick?
Cincinnati Bengals over the Patriots.
Okay, I almost went with that one. Actually, I think I did. I was going to go Bills, and then I changed my mind and went Bengals-Patriots. Yeah, I've got Cincinnati as well.
If they lose... Which does happen.
It does.
Because it's early season Joe Burrow. I'd be very disappointed.
Well, we'll commiserate together then. Misery loves company, Ryan. 855-212-4227. We've had some interesting calls on this show, too. We had to land the plane multiple times. You'll have to check those out on the podcast. But a couple of people calling earlier about Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. We also have some unique laughs as well. The Indiana Fever, don't look now. They were 3-10 in mid-June. Remember when some fans, were calling for Christy Sides to get ousted, to get fired for her head on a platter? Well, after the Fever started 3-10, finally had a chance to practice. They started to develop a rhythm, get to know each other. Oh, yeah. Since then, they're 14-6. And would you believe they've got the best record since the Olympic break? Now 6-1, huge games over the weekend. Caitlin Clark sets a career high 31 points on Friday, and that was a game in which, if we're talking about rookie of the year competition, in which the Fever demolished the Chicago Sky. They scored 100 points. It was not a close game. And then on Sunday as well, against the Dallas Wings, Caitlin passes and sets the new rookie scoring record. So think about this. She now has more assists in a season than any other rookie, actually closing in on the single season assist record for the whole league. And she's got more points in a season than any other rookie. Mostly, though, she's really excited about winning and about seeing their team develop and have a good time.
It doesn't really matter. You better come into every single game with the mentality of to win. And I think our group has done a really good job of taking it one game at a time. And it's honestly impressive how we started the season and now sitting at sixth place with nine games remaining, whatever it is. But, you know, you have to continue to execute down the stretch. And lucky for us, we have quite a few of those at home, and we've been playing really well at home. So using that to our advantage will be important as well.
Yeah, keep in mind, the Fever are above 500 for the first time in 5 years. You guys, in 5 years, they've got four straight wins. And as I say, the hottest team since the Olympic break. Caitlin had 28 last night with 5 3-pointers. Kelsey Mitchell had 36. A lot of those coming on assists from Caitlin, so she had another dozen assists. And yeah, she points out the home games. The audio was a little wonky, but they do their post-game press conferences a lot of times on Zoom. Even though they're in a press room, they're doing them on Zoom. 6 straight home games beginning on Wednesday against the Sparks. So it's a big deal for them because they're able to take advantage of those enormous crowds at home. Angel Reese, by the way, new single season record for rebounds in the WNBA. So both of these rookies are leaving their early fingerprint on the league. And I know many of you voted last week for Rookie of the Year and told us that... Overwhelmingly, it should be Caitlin Clark, 88%. But both of these women, they've changed the way that teams game plan for them, and they've changed the way that their teams and their franchises operate. So I love the fact that the Fever are close to clinching a playoff spot. That will happen soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, also online at A-Law Radio. I did do some tweeting about the WNBA and just the the break, the Olympic break, and so you can go and you can check it out. But the Olympic break for Caitlin was exactly what she needed. I know you all would have loved to see her on the Olympic team, but what she really needed was to be home. What she really needed was to have a break from basketball for the first time since before her final college season began. Before we hit the top of the hour, quick update on Ricky Pearsall. Would you believe the Niners rookie wide receiver is home from the hospital? Not even, it's been about 36 hours, maybe 40 hours or so, somewhere in that range, since he was shot in broad daylight in San Francisco. And right now, they're saying it was just a single gunman, a teenager, if you can believe it. His name has not been released. So it's 17 years old. He tried to rob Pearsall and ends up shooting him. His mom posted on social Sunday that the bullet was a through and through and missed his vital organs. And so he was upgraded to fair condition and then was allowed to leave the hospital on Sunday morning at some point, which is incredible. His mom called him extremely lucky because that bullet missed all of his vital organs. But I know that was a scary moment for the Niners, certainly a scary moment for Ricky and his family. And he's okay. I don't know his playing status. I haven't heard anything about that. I dare say that's secondary to anything else that's happened. Thankfully, he is alive and he's out of the hospital. The Niners will kick off this weekend. 23 years old, he was their first round draft pick. So you would expect that he would get some playing time, but I haven't heard anything about that. You will probably hear from the Niners at some point this week. All right, enjoy your Labor Day. We're back with you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Woo! Boom!